Welcome to the Deep Dive. We are here to give you the most concise, actionable intelligence from a whole stack of serious research.
And today's topic is something I think is absolutely critical.
It really is. We're focusing on the real reason why so many intelligent, analytically sharp people still, you know, fail to really succeed in decentralized finance.
Right.
Our mission for this deep dive is pretty straightforward. We want to give you a shortcut to more consistent profitability, and we're going to do that by examining your internal operating system.
I like that framing. An operating system.
Yeah. We're diving into this key insight that most traders fail, not because they're missing some technical skill, but because they just don't understand their own psychological blueprint.
What our sources are calling your financial DNA.
Exactly. And this financial DNA, it's not some, you know, nebulous concept.
Total.
It's the unique, measurable combination of your risk tolerance, your style of processing information, and your stress response patterns. So if you want genuine, sustainable discipline, you have to stop obsessing over charts and start looking kind of ruthlessly inward.
And that's the perfect way to put it. What's so fascinating here is how often we try to solve psychological problems with, you know, technical solutions.
Oh, all the time.
You download a new charting tool, you pay for a premium alpha group, but the underlying decision maker, your psychology, it just stays flawed.
Right.
The initial split that really determines long-term success or failure is, well, it's philosophical, but has very concrete capital consequences.
Okay.
It's the fixed mindset versus the growth mindset.
A tale of two traders.
Exactly. To be clear, the fixed mindset trader prioritizes protecting their ego. They need to be validated. They need to be right.
And the growth mindset trader?
They're doing the opposite.
Okay.
They prioritize protecting their capital while ruthlessly trying to expand their capabilities.
Okay, so let's unpack this tale of two traders. Let's start with the defensive posture of the fixed mindset trader.
Yeah.
So when this person experiences a loss, or maybe their chosen protocol fails a security audit, they see it as a personal character flaw. It's not just a market event.
It's about them.
It's about them. They believe trading ability is some kind of innate talent. And they internalize this belief that they should have known better, which is, I mean, that's just the quickest route to defensiveness.
And that defensiveness is so deadly in DeFi because it stops you from adapting quickly when the code or the market narrative shifts under your feet.
Right.
We see this play out in extremely costly ways within the decentralized ecosystem.
I can imagine.
A classic fixed mindset trap is stubbornly holding a governance token, not because the fundamentals are sound, but because they spent weeks arguing its merits in a DAO forum.
Oh, wow.
They're more concerned with proving they were correct to the community than just admitting an error and preserving their funds.
So the investment literally turns into an expensive public ego defense mechanism.
That's it, exactly.
That sounds ideal, but is it realistic? I mean, if I'm down 90% on an asset, how do I stop arguing with the tape and actually see that situation as tuition without just feeling completely demoralized or, you know, even patronized?
That's the core challenge, right?
Right.
And it's why the growth mindset is an active choice. It's not a natural state for most of us.
Okay.
The growth trader views that loss, even a 90% drawdown, as expensive, yes, but also as valuable education. You're paying tuition to understand real-world risk.
So they reframe it.
They have to. Instead of saying DeFi is too complex and I'm not smart enough, the growth trader asks specific, actionable questions.
Yeah, quite.
For instance, after the liquidity pool drain, they don't just walk away. They go back and systematically analyze the token emission schedule or maybe the vesting cliffs they missed.
I see.
They're embracing the complexity because they believe their skill improves through deliberate practice and through documenting those expensive lessons.
So here's the key difference in action then. A fixed trader gets caught in a leveraged yield farming liquidation and they retreat. They say, leverage is too risky. I'm just sticking to cash.
Right. A blanket statement.
A blanket statement. But the growth trader says that liquidation was a tuition payment on my collateralization ratio model, my maximum safe ratio for volatile assets. It's 1.4x, not the 1.2x I was using.
I learned my personal liquidation boundary.
Yes. And that is a massive, massive advantage going forward.
That intentional forensic analysis, it moves us perfectly into self-analysis. You can't transform your financial DNA until you confront its current limitations.
Makes sense.
And the sources lean heavily on the timeless wisdom of Jesse Livermore. He famously said, I never argue with the tape.
A classic.
This. But before you can stop arguing with the price action, you have to understand the psychological pressure point that makes you want to argue in the first place.
And Livermore's methodology, it forces us to confront that wiring using what our sources call the four questions that matter for self-analysis.
And this is just a quick checklist. This is deep reflection.
Right. So question one, what emotions drive your worst DeFi decisions? And we need granular detail here. Mm-hmm. Is it FOMO driving you into like a poorly audited, extremely high APY farm? Is it anger after watching profits evaporate on a failed stablecoin, leading you to jump right into a revenge trade?
Or is it pride? Pride that prevents you from ever admitting your protocol choice was just wrong and you should cut the loss.
And that ties right into the second question. When do you fight the market instead of flowing with it?
Yeah, this is a big one. This happens when you start doubling down aggressively against a clear trend, maybe putting more capital into a token that has clearly broken key support levels.
Just because you believe your narrative is still correct.
Exactly. You believe your initial valuation is right and the market is wrong. But the market doesn't grade you on effort, only on discipline.
And the third question, this one requires a memory for repetition. What patterns do you repeat that cost you money?
This is where your financial DNA really shows itself. Maybe your mistake isn't the protocol itself, but the timing.
Right.
Do you consistently buy the absolute peak of the hype cycle? Do you always exit too early on your profits?
Those repeated errors, whether they're on layer ones or some new derivatives platform, they're like flashing neon signs pointing directly at your core psychological weaknesses.
For sure.
And finally, the fourth question, the one that I think really seals the fate of the fixed mindset. How does your ego interfere with profitable decisions?
I mean, are you more concerned with appearing informed and infallible in a Discord group versus just being quiet and profitable in your own portfolio?
That distinction between being right and making money, that's where the amateur loses and the professional wins every single time.
So now that we've established that fixed versus growth foundation, we need to map your complete financial DNA profile.
Okay.
And this profile is defined by those three measurable components we mentioned earlier, risk tolerance, information processing style, and your stress response patterns.
Let's start with risk tolerance, because that seems like it determines your gravitational pull within DeFi.
It does. We often just categorize this as conservative or aggressive, but it's more nuanced than that.
How so?
A truly conservative trader, one who prioritizes capital preservation, they go way beyond just using Aave and Compound.
Okay.
They focus intensely on smart contract risk mitigation.
Yeah.
They might use decentralized insurance protocols like Nexus Mutual for protection against code exploits. They accept that high premium as a necessary psychological hedge.
So their growth is slow, but they can sleep at night.
Exactly. Conversely, the aggressive trader chases that high APY farming, yes, but their psychological challenge isn't just volume, it's managing catastrophic liquidation risk.
Right.
They have to mentally account for and psychologically withstand extreme volatility and the potential for total loss on these experimental, highly leveraged positions.
So their DNA profile has to include an ironclad, predefined exit plan for when, not if, a collapse occurs.
It has to.
Okay. Next up is your information processing style. Knowing this seems key to understanding where your conviction even comes from. Mm-hmm. Are you analytical? Do you require detailed white papers, deep dives into tokenomics, analyzing vesting schedules, and performing multiple security audit checks before you deploy a single dollar?
Or are you more intuitive, relying on pattern recognition, reading the flow of liquidity pools, and just kind of feeling the market's pulse?
Or maybe you're social, navigating the market primarily through community consensus, influencer guidance, or monitoring whale movements on chain.
Yeah.
Knowing your style is knowing if you're executing a strategy based on data, experience, or crowd wisdom.
And finally, the ultimate test.
Yeah.
Your stress response patterns. What does your financial DNA do when the pressure really hits?
The moment of truth.
Totally. We identify three common physiological and psychological responses under high volatility.
Okay.
First, freeze. This is analysis paralysis. You have a solid trading plan, but when the token drops 40% in an hour, your brain just locks up.
And you can't execute the stop loss order you set.
Right, cementing your loss because of inaction. Second, fight. This is revenge trading.
Oh, yeah.
It often manifests as doubling down or taking on outsized leverage, just desperately trying to get even with market that just burned you.
And the third one?
Flight. This is panic selling during market-wide drawdowns, where you exit your positions and crystallize losses at the absolute worst point, just to stop the pain and anxiety.
That framework gives us the context, but now we need the action plan. How do we measure this financial DNA profile and actually start the transformation?
So the sources detail the training DNA test, and it requires a baseline of ruthless honesty from you, the listener.
This isn't a multiple choice quiz.
No.
It's a self-assessment where you rate your consistency from 1, meaning never, to 10, meaning always, on these critical behavioral statements. And these aren't just about profit. They're about mental resilience.
For sure. Consider some of these indicators of a growth mindset.
Go for it.
I learn more actionable steps from my losses than from my wins.
That's a tough one to be honest about.
It is. Or I could admit when I'm definitively wrong about a protocol, even if I was the one who initially recommended it.
Oh.
I predefine a stop loss when entering a position, and I execute it without hesitation. And, you know, maybe the hardest one of all. I take profits even when the consensus view is that the tokens will continue climbing.
So you complete the self-assessment, you get a score out at 80, and that number is your starting point.
Your baseline.
Your baseline. If you land in the 56 to 80 point range, you're growth mindset dominant. You have the foundations, but you need vigilance to avoid, you know, complacency or arrogance after a big win.
Right. If you score between 40 and 55 points, you have a mixed mindset, which is actually the most dangerous zone.
Why is that?
The 50-point trader, for instance, might be excellent at cutting losses, that's a growth trade, but consistently fail to take profit early enough, which is a fixed trait linked to greed.
I see. So you have promise, but you need surgical, focused work on your specific gaps.
Exactly. And if you score below 40, you are fixed mindset dominant. And that number is not a judgment on your intelligence.
Right.
It is simply the starting point for a transformation. The market has been teaching you expensive lessons, and now you have to actively start listening.
So how do we actually transform this baseline? How do we turn those losses, Livermore's expensive tuition payments, into actual growth assets?
Through systematic documentation. It's what he called the memory bank integration.
This requires specific journaling. You have to systematically document the event, the emotion you felt, the action you took, and the consequence.
And you need to identify the fixed story you told yourself in that moment, and then immediately create the growth application.
Okay, let's run through some common transformations that are specific to DeFi. This is where the rubber really meets the road.
Let's do it. So, a common fixed story. I lost 40% because the market is manipulated and unfair.
Okay, I've heard that one.
The growth application is, I lost 40% because I failed to understand the liquidation risk associated with cross-chain bridging. And now I know to diversify stable collateral across 3 different non-custodial wallets.
So it becomes specific and actionable.
Totally. Here's another one. Fixed story. I sold too early and missed the 5x pump. I'm terrible at picking winners.
The pain of taking profits too soon.
Yeah. The growth application. I followed my profit-taking rule, which protected my capital. My discipline protected me from greed. Next time, I will set a tiered exit strategy to capitalize on momentum while still maintaining safety.
I like that.
And one more, fixed story. DeFi is too complex. I will never understand how to calculate my real yield after paying for gas.
Okay.
The growth application. I haven't learned how to efficiently track net yield across multiple platforms yet. I will focus this week on learning one specific reliable portfolio tracker tool.
Say that word, yet.
That word, yet, is your most powerful tool. It's the linguistic bridge from the fixed self to the growing self.
And this isn't about immediate profits, right? The sources really emphasize that the success of this transformation is measured solely in psychological progress.
That's right.
Did you complete the self-assessment with ruthless honesty? Did you identify your top 3 repeating psychological patterns? Did you commit to a growth mission statement?
Those are the foundational metrics.
Yeah.
They build the discipline required for consistent profitability later on.
Okay, let's bring all this together. I think the biggest takeaway from this deep dive is that the DeFi market isn't some distant external entity working against you.
Wow.
The volatility, the pumps, the crashes, it's all a mirror. It's just reflecting your current psychological state and your decision-making framework.
That's so true.
The biggest competitive edge you can possibly gain in decentralized finance, it isn't technical skill. It is the development of psychological mastery.
And that mastery begins with something simple. Non-judgmental awareness. So your assignment this week is to just observe your emotional reactions to every single DeFi price movement. When that governance token surges or plummets, don't try to stop the fear or the greed.
Just watch it.
Just observe it. Note it down. Identify the specific fixed mindset story you start telling yourself. This act of non-judgmental observation and documentation is the foundation for building unbreakable discipline, and it is the first crucial step toward transforming your financial DNA and truly mastering the market.